Welcome to this edition of the Abbott, Stringham & Lynch Family Wealth Group podcast series. I'm Julie Malik Hidayat. I'm a partner with the firm. And joining me today is Chris Madrid. Chris is a senior tax manager with ASL and a member of the Family Wealth Group as well. So today, Chris and I are going to talk about the new Tax Reform Act as it relates to individual taxes. And we've titled our little discussion here, For Better or Worse? Because with all the sweeping changes that were made with the new tax laws, there was a lot of give, but there was a lot of take away. So it's really hard to tell just by looking at an individual's tax situation whether they'll end up in a better tax position or maybe paying more taxes in 2018 versus where they were at in 2017. The new tax law was signed on December 22, 2017, and it's commonly known as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Something to keep in mind, too, for the individual provisions is that almost all of these provisions are set to sunset after about 7 years, so they take effect in 2018 for the most part and last until the end of 2025. So it's a window of opportunity or of pain, depending on how it affects you, to kind of get to know what's going on, do some planning for these new tax rules, and then unless something changes in the meantime, everything will flip back to the way they were in 2017. So that's an interesting idea to keep in mind as we kind of run through some of these changes. So now, Chris, can you go ahead and get us started and introduce us to some of the highlights of the changes for individual taxes?
Yes, for the high income tax bracket taxpayer, there is some good news. They have tweaked by a few percentage points the tax rates. The highest tax rate is now 37% as opposed to the 39.6%. The takeaway, unfortunately, in the law is the personal exemptions have gone away. That was helpful for people who had children, and that is no longer available. The standard deduction, however, has doubled in most cases. It was $12,700 for married taxpayers in 2017. However, in the new tax law, it's $24,000. Head of household is $18,000, and a single taxpayer is $12,000. And on top of that, they still have retained the additional exemption for elderly and blind.
So it could be then, and we'll be talking about itemized deductions in just a second, but it could be that a lot of people who were itemizing their deductions may actually end up using the standard deduction now that those have doubled.
Absolutely. The difference would be from 2017 law to 2018 law, if you did a standard deduction and you had yourself and your wife or husband, you would have gotten around $21,000. This would be a net gain of $3,000 towards reducing your income.
So even though this is a case of even though they took away the personal exemptions and some of the itemized deductions, if you're able to use the new enhanced standard deduction, you could come out better.
Yeah, actually you could. Yeah. People who have multiple children, though, they're probably the losers if they normally did a standard deduction and then didn't get an exemption for each of their children. They're probably the biggest losers in this enactment.
Right, because that personal exemption was really a valuable deduction for them.
Right.
Okay. We'll talk about now going into those itemized deductions that we were just referring to, and a couple of them were really big deals and the most common ones that a lot of taxpayers were able to take advantage of. One of them is the mortgage interest deduction, and that got a lot of publicity because it was on the table to be repealed and just completely taken away. But at the end of the day, that didn't happen, but it was tweaked a bit. And so the old rules under the old law is that you could deduct interest on your mortgage that you use to purchase your home up to interest on a loan balance of $1 million. And something to keep in mind that not everyone is aware of that actually has not changed from the old law to the new law is that interest deduction is not only on your principal personal residence that you live in, but also on a second home. So you can actually have two homes with a combined acquisition debt of up to $1 million under the old rules and be able to deduct interest. So the two-home rule is still in effect under the new laws, but that $1 million mortgage limit has now been decreased down to $750,000. And that change has an interesting effective date of December 15th, 2017. So that's a little different. I'm not sure why they hung on to that, but if you had an existing mortgage under the old rules before December 15, then actually you're grandfathered in, so nothing will change for you. But someone who purchased a home after December 15th, including December 16, 17 through the end of 2017, those people will fall under the new rules and only be able to deduct interest on the first $750,000 of mortgage for purchasing that home. So it didn't go away, but it's curtailed a little bit. We didn't get so lucky on the mortgage interest deduction for home equity loans. So under the old rules, we could deduct up to $100,000 of home equity loans used for whatever purpose we wanted to use them for. Under the new laws, that's completely gone. So that deduction is eliminated, and no one, whether it was a pre-change in law or under the new law, no one going forward will be able to take a deduction for interest on home equity loans. There's something that did not change about these rules, is that we still have the opportunity to trace the use of funds from our home equity loan to a purpose that would otherwise be deductible anyway without regard to where the funds came from. So the most common example of that is business loans or business use of your loan. So if you took out a home equity loan under the old rules and under the new rules and you used it for your business, then you can still go ahead and deduct the interest on that loan for business purposes, and you would deduct it. Typically, we're talking about your Schedule C business that's reported on your personal tax return. So that's still a loophole that's there and it's good to keep in mind now that we otherwise won't be able to take advantage of that deduction. The other biggie in the itemized deduction category that really had people scrambling at the end of the year was the limitation on being able to deduct state and local taxes and real property taxes. So these are income taxes, the property tax that's rolled into DMV fees when we register our cars, sales tax if someone is taking a sales tax deduction in lieu of income taxes, and property taxes. So these deductions were actually on the table to be completely eliminated under both the federal and the Senate and the House proposals. But at the end of the day, they weren't completely eliminated, but they gave us back $10,000 of deductions. So the way it was under the old rules is it was basically unlimited for these deductions. Now all of these taxes go into one bucket and you can deduct only $10,000. So that is a huge difference for most California taxpayers. But again, if you end up being able to use a standard deduction, particularly taxpayers who don't have a mortgage, although a mortgage doesn't fit into that, but in the overall scheme, this limitation I've seen it push people into the standard deduction category. So this is one case where you could come out better, even though you're losing a big chunk of what you formerly were able to deduct. So it may not be as bad as it sounds. Those are two of the itemized deductions that were impacted. Chris, can you tell us about some of the other itemized deductions the new law tweaked?
Yes, and some of these are gains and some of them are losses. For charitable contributions, they've increased the deduction to 60% of AGI. However, you can't take charity on top of a standard deduction, so it's one or the other. But that is good news for people who tend to be very charitable. Medical expenses, they're generally easy to qualify for 2017 and 2018 because the limitation is 7.5% of AGI as opposed to the 10%. Big loser in miscellaneous itemized deductions, however, for a lot of our taxpayers, they were already in AMT, so it might not make that much of a difference on their 2018 tax return. But what's been eliminated is tax prep fees, investment advisor fees, unreimbursed employee business expenses, and those tend to be the ones that you see. The moving expense has been eliminated, however, the gambling expense still exists.
So now let's talk about a new deduction that came out of the new tax laws that should be a significant benefit for a lot of taxpayers. And this deduction is a deduction on what they were calling a deduction on pass-through income, which caused a lot of confusion for a while, but now we have a much better understanding of how this is going to work now that we have the final laws. But what the deduction does is it allows individuals who have business income that's taxed, traditionally taxed on their personal tax returns at their individual tax rates, they're able to reduce the tax on that income by taking a deduction of up to 20% of that business income that's reported on their personal tax returns. So that means that 80% of that income will be taxed and 20% will be tax-free. So it sounds too good to be true, and sometimes it will be too good to be true, but for the most part, they meant to give this tax break to individual taxpayers on business income because there was an effort to equalize or make more fair business income that's taxed on personal returns as compared to the significant tax rate deduction that was just given to corporations in the new tax law. Corporations had the highest tax rate on corporate income of 35%, and that's gone to 21%. So it was deemed not to be fair to have other businesses whose taxes fell under the individual tax rates to pay a much higher tax on that income. So the question was, well, what kind of pass-through income are we talking about? So now we know that what we're talking about is sole proprietorships reported on Schedule C, although there is could be a carve-out for personal services businesses, so consultants, engineers, accountants, architects. There were some very specific.
Architects, interestingly enough, architects and engineers must have a really good lobby.
They weren't in there?
They fell outside of this, yeah.
Seriously?
So
okay.
They're not considered personal service, which you can get personal service. It's just severely curtailed based upon income, where other businesses aren't.
Right. Yeah. So there's a set of rules, and then if you don't fall under those set of rules, there's another set of rules that you may actually end up being able to take this deduction. So if you fall into those categories or you read that doesn't count, don't give up hope. You still may count under another set of rules. But generally speaking, sole proprietorships on your Schedule C work, income from S corporations that passes through on a K-1 is eligible for the deduction. Income to partners of partnerships are eligible for the deduction. And rental activities, which was really a big concern for a lot of taxpayers, whether or not rental activities would count, and if they did count as a business income, did it have to actually be in a business entity like an LLC to be considered pass-through income because of the title of the provision? It turns out, good news actually, it does not have to be in an LLC. So your rental activities that are reported on Schedule E on your Form 1040 personal tax return also qualify, for this 20% deduction.
Would you say that's one of the biggest gains out of this whole tax law?
I would. In fact, I thought it was too good to be true.
I did too.
They played with, if you remember, they played with potentially taxing it at self-employment, charging self-employment tax on rental income.
Right.
But sometimes rental income falls under business rules, and sometimes it doesn't fall under business rules. So it wasn't clear what their intention was, but now it's clear, and it's good news.
Very good news. Out of all of this, this is probably the best news.
And I think also, Chris, the one reason it's so good is that it doesn't matter for this purpose whether or not you're actually working in the business. So you could be an investor in one of these businesses. It's not a matter of passive income versus non-passive income, which is a whole other set of rules. Material participation doesn't matter. So as long as you have business income that shows up on your tax return, there's possibility that you will be able to deduct 20% of that income and not pay tax on it. So it's a good deal. The last piece of information directly related to individual taxes that we wanted to talk about is alternative minimum tax, or AMT. We were hoping that it would go away and be completely repealed because it did start out being in both the House and Senate proposals as being completely repealed. In fact, AMT was completely repealed for corporations, but at the very end of the day in the last minute negotiations, it was added back for individual taxes. So we still have AMT for individuals, but directly and indirectly, it will probably look a lot different than it did before the tax reform. As a reminder, AMT is an alternative parallel tax system where everyone has to calculate what their tax would be if they had basically fewer itemized deductions. That's what we mostly see the difference being versus the regular tax itemized deductions that they're taking. And if your alternative calculation ends up with a higher tax liability, then you pay the higher tax. Ironically, now that they're limiting so much of our itemized deductions, there's not that much difference, or not as much difference, between AMT and regular tax. So you may not, probably more people will escape AMT because they're not able to take a lot of itemized deductions.
With the add backs, yeah.
There's
not that many add backs left.
Exactly, just a few.
The depreciation differences and some of the other things. But other than that, the big ones that were putting people into AMT typically were state taxes and property taxes. So since that's gone, and miscellaneous deductions.
And miscellaneous.
And mm-hmm. since they're gone now, you know, I think that's going to take a lot of people out of AMT.
So the flip side of that is the reason that you're not in AMT is because your regular tax is higher.
Exactly. So it's like, well, we're saying it's a good thing, but it's really not.
So is it good or is it not good? You know, but then again, at the same time, you have a higher taxable income, but your tax rates are lower. So you could benefit. And I know we talked earlier, we've done some planning for clients and we've seen it. I've seen it go both ways.
Interestingly enough, I think I had done a tax plan for two people. One had real estate, a lot of real estate income, and the other taxpayer had a lot of investment income. The person who had the real estate, his taxes did go down, and for the other taxpayer, his tax rates went up by like $50,000 because of the disallowance of the investment fees. So it's very individual.
So that is the... in the direct individual tax implications of a lot of what is going to be affecting most individual taxpayers. And related to that is estate and gift taxes, which were kind of directly and indirectly due to the change in individual rules impacted by the new tax laws and the tax reform. So Chris, can you walk us through some of those estate, gift, and trust issues?
Yeah, I think the biggest gain here for wealthy taxpayers is that the unified credit went up to $10 million per taxpayer indexed since 2011, which that we believe is going to be about $11,200,000 per taxpayer. So basically, a married couple who has a taxable estate of $22 million is not going to have any estate tax. So that's a big gain for our wealthy taxpayers. One of the caveats about that is it, as you mentioned earlier, it has a sunset provision and in 2025. And at that time, the rates are going to fall back to the pre-tax law rates. In terms of this, it's a good planning opportunity for gifting, maybe to get some income out of somebody's estate, because we don't know where they're going to fall when this is going to come back down. I think most tax experts kind of expect it to just sunset. Nobody's really going to touch it. They're just going to let it go away.
And Chris, we know, but maybe not everyone knows, trust income taxes are based on individual tax rules. So did the recent changes under the Tax Reform Act impact trust income taxes?
It did. So what happened with the trust tax, as most people know who have trusts, that it's a very compressed set of brackets. But the new lower rates do apply to a trust. The problem is the trust has also lost the 2% itemized deductions, which a lot of the trusts have because they, you know, have investment fees. What's not clear is the fiduciary fees and the fees that are incurred because the assets are in a trust. And that's to be determined. Also, what's to be determined is the limitation on real property taxes and state taxes, income taxes, which whether they're going to cap out at 10, it's not clear.
The $10,000 limit.
Yeah, but I think it probably will. I think that's probably going to happen because trusts do follow individual rules.
Okay, well, thank you, Chris. This concludes our brief overview of the individual tax law changes under the Tax Reform Act that was came into effect January 2018. And it affects not only the individuals, but trusts and estates and gifting as well. If you have any questions, as always, we're here to help. Feel free to contact Abbott Stringman Lynch, and you will be put in touch with one of our tax professionals who would be able to answer your questions and potentially work with you to do any planning or compliance needs that you may have. Also wanted to remind everyone that this podcast, as well as previous podcasts that the Family Wealth Group has recorded, will be archived on our website, and you can find that by going to ASLCPA.com under resources, or if you navigate directly to the Family Wealth expertise area, you would be able to find a collection of newsletter articles and podcasts on various topics related to individual taxes and estates and trusts.